What's up? Welcome back to The Sound Table. I'm your host, Austin, and I'm joined by our co-host, Miranda.
Hello.
Today, we are here. I think we're going to talk about a couple different topics that we're kind of lumping into one kind of overarching theme. So I want to talk a little bit about the vibe of just like, is an artist who doesn't write their own lyrics, doesn't maybe even write their own melodies, like, are they still as much of an artist as somebody who does? And then also, we wanted to talk about the concept of like label plants and industry plants, and just like label development in general. And so we figured we might as well kind of merge this into just one big topic of like, is artistry in the traditional sense kind of dead, especially with like how you have to create content and how saturated the market is. So we're going to dive into all of that in this episode. But before we do, I did just want to go ahead and say thank you so much to everybody who has picked up the new course that we dropped a couple weeks ago, Producer Principles, Indie Rock and Alternative. I think now it's been about 3 days since it released, and there have been so many people join the course. All of the feedback has been really, really, really good. People are enjoying it. And yeah, it just means the world to us. We spent a lot of time on that course. I think that might be the longest we've ever worked on a product. It was like 16 and a half hours of course material, and Miranda had to edit it all. Then we have to like, you know, upload the website. We made the product boxes ourselves. We did all of the like marketing materials ourselves. So that one was a big one. It was a lot to undertake, but I'm excited that it's out in the world. So anybody who has picked that up, if you're listening to this podcast, thank you so much. I see every single person that has enrolled in it. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And thank you to all of the support we've been seeing in our spring sale in general. By the time this comes out, that's over. So I'm not even going to try to plug that. But if you pick something up, I do appreciate it. It's going to allow us to make a lot more really, really fun content for NPM in the next couple months, which me and Miranda are probably going to go have a meeting about this week. So more details on all of that soon. But let's just go ahead and jump into the topic. These are things that you had written down, Miranda. So
yes.
I'll kind of let you intro them. We can kind of start talking about...
You always do this to me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the one who writes them down, but that, you always make me intro.
I don't want to run the podcast.
No, I... No, of course. I just was interested because I feel like people get really opinionated about artists who don't write their own lyrics, and I just find it really interesting, and I don't really understand why, because I think it's one of the few, like, with other creative industries, it's not really like a thing, so it's interesting that like people care that artists don't write their lyrics, especially some artists just aren't good at writing lyrics. Would you guys rather have like good songs or like...
Well, one thing that we've talked about in private is the fact of like, with being a musical artist, there's a lot of pillars to that, right? Like you have to make music, which includes like producing, writing chord progressions, writing lyrics, writing melodies, performing it. Like how good can you actually sing what has already been written? Are you going to, you know, be a dancer? Are you going to, you know, put a lot of time and money and investment into like your fashion and your image and... You know, what kind of artist do you are you a visual artist? Like, do you have really crazy music videos? There's a lot of different things to balance. And it's one of those things of like, if somebody does a lot of those things really well, but maybe writing lyrics is not their strong suit, I don't personally think it's fair to discount them. Okay, so like, if we look at somebody like, I'm going to name names and I could be incorrect, but if we look at somebody like Ariana Grande, right?
Right.
Works with a lot of songwriters. She does produce her own vocals a lot of the time now. Mm-hmm. I know that she has written a lot of her lyrics, but I also know she's had songs come out of camps. She's had a lot of help, but she has an insane voice and she has a look and she has a show and she has a vibe about her. Like she feels like a big pop star.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair that somebody like her shouldn't be able to make her voice known? Because she might not be the most incredible lyricist of all time.
Right.
Like, I just don't think that that's really fair. And then we see the opposite. We see people who are incredible lyricists, but have pretty average voices. And it's one of those things of like, which do you want? There's going to be very, very few people who are the whole package, who can produce it themselves, write it themselves, you know, perform everything themselves on the rec. Like, nobody's Prince right now, you know?
Right.
Like, there's very, very few artists like that. And so, in my opinion, is like, what makes it fair to say that an artist who's not writing their own lyrics is any less genuine than an artist who didn't play the guitar on their record?
Right.
Like, I'm not understanding where that boundary is of like, no, this is like the non-negotiable thing that you have to do to be an artist that I'm going to respect.
Yeah. I always think of it as like, actors in TV shows or movies, like no one cares that they weren't in the writing room when they wrote those things to be an actor. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so rare that an actor is a writer on the show that they're on or the movie that they're in, but doesn't mean that they can't do a good job because they didn't write to that show.
Am I supposed to think that Robin Williams didn't do an insane job in Good Will Hunting because he didn't write the most poignant monologue of that entire movie?
That's what, like, I'm saying.
No, you still feel his emotions from his performance, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that it has to be that different looking at a musical artist. I think that a lot of people just have this big sense of, like, for you to be somebody in music that I respect, you need to write the song on an acoustic guitar by yourself in a bedroom. Yeah, and, like, I understand that there is a whole market of that kind of music.
Yeah, of course.
But, like...
but not everybody needs to fall under that umbrella, in my opinion, because I don't think everyone has that strong suit. Like, there are some people who write their own lyrics and might be, like, Ed Sheeran, for example. It's known that he writes all his own songs, and a lot of his lyrics are really good. But, like, are you going to go to his show being, like... I want a performance. No. Is he going to be incredible live because he sounds great and it's just him on a stage? It's like, yeah, it's a very cool concept.
Well, his,
like,
performance concept is like the looping and stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not choreo.
That's what I'm saying. You're not going to get like a Britney Spears level production with an Ed Sheeran because that's just not his. It's just like, it's two different things and I think they can both exist. But I feel like people like to shit on one and like put one the other up. And I just think it's, I just think it's bullshit and I just think it's annoying and pretentious in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think trying to shit on people because they don't have a skill that you yourself probably don't have is just like,
That's the thing. Is I think it comes from a lot of people too who like don't really understand writing music.
They're like never even in the industry. They're just like regular people. I'm like,
right.
You're not even, you don't even know how hard it is to do something like that. And you're sitting over here being like, well, they should do it. They're an artist. And it's like, really?
And there's different strokes for different folks, right? Like, it really depends on, like, the kind of music that you like to listen to. Like, if you have a pop song that's written like a folk record where it's super storytelling, really relying on, like, metaphors and imagery and, like, personification of nature, dude, 90% of people are not going to want to hear that in their car on their way to work.
Right.
And that is why pop music is pop music. It's easy. It's digestible. People in foreign countries can sing along to it. That's literally, like, Max Martin's secret. Is he's, like, the reason that Hit Me Baby One More Time is such a big song... lyrically doesn't even make sense in the verse, really. It's like noises put together. And he was like, but people in back home in Sweden, people in Germany, people in Japan can sing it.
Right.
Because it's written on like a second grade reading level.
Right. Which
and
is
so,
totally fine.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm thinking like, I don't, as somebody who's done a lot of different pillars of like producing a song, making a song, writing a song, is like I can do the whole thing from start to finish, but sometimes like you do get a better product or a better outcome, or you even get something better out of yourselves when you collaborate with people, when you let people help you. Like,
yeah,
even if you're writing from the most personal experience that you've ever had and that nobody else has had, everybody has probably felt that emotion before, right? Like at the end of the day, I feel like most music comes back to like grief, love, loss, happiness, fulfillment, like
anger.
It's basic anger. It's like basic emotions that we've all felt on a fundamental level. And so even if I want to tell a very specific story, if I don't have the right words or if I don't have the right format that I want to tell that in, somebody who has felt a similar emotion for their story can still come in and help. Like, I don't think that it has to be the thing of like, oh, well, nobody else was in my shoes on, you know, January 14th when XYZ
happened.
Careful
with that January date.
Yeah. Nobody else is there on January 6th.
You can't even joke about it.
I know.
Straight white man.
Demonetized. No, like, it's just one of those things I think of, yeah, people have, like, built it up. And one of the things that I've always told people, too, when they have that argument of, like, well, why does Beyonce have a bunch of writers in the room? Or and specifically, people really give women a hard time about this.
I was just thinking that.
But... you have to think of like, okay, well, like, let's even look at the Beatles, right? It was a band. There was four people with a producer. So always five people, if not even more, because they also had help with performance. They also had help with production, engineers. There's at least five people who wrote every Beatles record. There's Paul, there's...
I don't think people care about
Ringo,
that, though.
Like, no, but that's what I'm saying, though. It's like...
oh, you're saying it's more... I see what you're saying. More people.
Right. Like, why is it okay for a band to all write a record together?
That's true,
like, why is that not just a vocalist job? And some bands, some bands, a vocalist does everything themselves.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But a lot of bands are collaborative projects. Guitarists will write a vocal part. Vocalists will help with a drum break, or like, it's just a collaborative effort. So when you see solo pop artists like Ariana Grande or Britney Spears or, you know, Beyonce or Sam Smith or anybody else, like, you need some collaboration. And that is typically going to come with producers and songwriters and engineers. And the thing is like, you don't have to have that much input to have your name on the credits.
I was just about to say that.
So when people see a track on the new Beyonce record and it's got six producers and six writers, number one, if it samples anything, you have to credit all of those people, right? Mm-hmm. So like on her version of Jolene, she has to credit whoever wrote Jolene originally, which is Dolly Parton and
Miss Dolly
company.
Parton,
whoever produced that track originally, if she's using any actual sample from that, and then anybody that helped her write or produce her version. And so like, you hear these hip hop songs that have samples from three different songs included. And then people are like, why did it take 20 people to produce this song? It didn't. They used samples that four people produced and four people produced and three people produced.
Yeah.
And then they sat in a room with six people and that's what came out. Also, these writing sessions are normally pretty casual. It's normally whoever's in the room who says a word is getting on the sheet.
Yeah.
And so if you just happen to be in a session and there's a big crew that day, and there's three producers, there's a couple co-writers, there's an engineer who might change a word, you're the artist, maybe after that you send it to a friend and they help revise something. Like, dude, credits stack up fast. So
yeah,
I
changed
people have,
one word in your song one time and you were like, well, I'm putting you on the credits. I was
like,
you really don't need to.
But I think that people lose sight of that. So they see that a record might be written by eight people or that an artist might not even be on it and just be like, oh, well, this is just some mass-produced factory, you know, pop record.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the case. Sometimes it was written in a camp in the hills in California with, you know, seven producers that are signed to Sony UMG. And that's what came out. And it went to an up and coming artist.
Yeah.
That's also fine. Like if it's going to an artist like that, then the artist is the performer. Right.
Right.
But like, it doesn't make the story any less valid. A human being still wrote that. A human being still produced that.
Well,
so,
and also it gives people jobs. So that's why also I don't like, I don't know if you want to make it in this industry, but you only value certain positions in this industry.
Right.
Like you're ranking them, like who's superior. I think that's kind of gross. And like, you can't, I don't know. It's just like someone might be an incredible songwriter, but they might not be a good singer, or they might be an okay singer, but they're not the most amazing, but like they might be the most amazing lyricist. Are you telling me that their stuff doesn't deserve to be heard because they don't have an incredible voice? Like, why? That's still art that a person created. They're just not the one that is like showing it to the world.
Sure.
And that's how I view it. So I really obviously do not have a problem with artists who don't write their own lyrics. And maybe other people don't view it like that, because I don't really understand why people get so like aggressive about people who don't write their own lyrics. It's just so weird to me.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting because I'm like, how do you know people always like to say, oh, back in the day. I'm like, how do you know those? How do you know Elvis Presley's writing his own lyrics?
Elvis Presley was mostly covering songs from black artists anyway.
He was. Like, well, yeah, but honestly, I'm saying even like the rare songs that he did are his originals. I'm like, you don't know that he wrote those. And even if they're, oh, well, it says that he did. It's in the book. Bro.
The modern crediting act like didn't even really come along till like the 70s or 80s. So before that, it was like, you might get credit, you might not.
Yeah. Like, people were sampling every single song. That was not even a thing. Like sampling.
Look at the Motown days. It's like, how many people made a version of Stand By Me?
Yeah.
Like,
how many times have you heard a song?
60?
Yeah.
You know, like, because song, we didn't have the same laws. And you could just make a song.
Yes. So you really think that one person, he probably wrote all of his own lyrics and there wasn't one other person who helped him with a few things? Like,
right.
Or wrote it all himself. Who knows?
Yeah. I just think like if you're listening to this podcast and you've ever felt yourself be like that kind of skeptic of saying, you know, like, I don't understand why a pop song takes 14 people to write, or I don't understand why, you know, X, Y, Z, like why is Britney Spears not writing her own music? It's like, maybe just look at it differently. You know, like
have a different perspective.
Yeah. Like, are you supposed to get mad that Jack Nicholson didn't write the movies that he was in? Like,
right.
I don't think that you are. Sure, there's some actors that are producing, directing, writing, screenwriting, like doing the whole nine. So rare.
Yeah.
It's
rare. Very rare.
Especially to make something to the standard that it needs to be commercially successful. That is also what people forget is like these songs that you're hearing on the radio that you're bitching about that might have 14 writers or producers or whatever. They go through a lot of checks and balances to get there, right? Like they probably start as a demo with the producer, maybe a second producer, the artist and a writer. and then they'll go to another production session, and then they'll go to another production session, and then they'll go to a mix, and then they'll go to a master, then they might get revisions, and like, you never know. Like, there might be, you know, 12 different people playing instruments on the song. There might be 3 different people who help mix the record. Like, credits stack up because these songs can take 2 years to make.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to Ian Kirkpatrick about Got Me Started, because I was like, bro, this song is the wave right now. Like, this is just in time for like the like UK, you know, garage music to come in. And he was like, yeah, we wrote this song 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He was like, the original demo for this is 3 years old. And he was like, we literally just finally got it through all its paces like a few weeks before it released.
Takes a long time.
And that song had a small team. That was like Ian, I think he might've produced it himself, maybe one other producer and then like a couple writers. But like, people don't realize that the songs that you're hearing were probably demoed 2 years ago.
Yeah. I was just going to say, don't get annoyed that I'm bringing her up. But literally, Taylor Swift's album, I know. She was like, oh, I've been working on this album for 2 years.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the? I mean, it's an album, granted, but still, Got Me Started was on an album. So that's probably why it took so long. But shit like that just takes forever. And also, people discredit her all the time. She writes her own lyrics. So like, really, what is the point? You can just do whatever you want and you're just never right.
Well, and there's no formula. Like, some songs might take 2 or 3 years to get revised and approved and released.
Yeah.
You hear artists all the time that were like, oh, I had to turn the album in 48 hours, and this was the last song I wrote, and it's my favorite.
Yeah, and it makes like, the album. And it's like the best one, yeah.
And that was only like 6 months before you heard it.
Yeah.
But that's the point of like taking your time and collaborating with people and like going through the paces of figuring out what do you want to write, what do you want to put. And sometimes that does take working with songwriters or working with other producers or singing something that somebody else wrote. Like, I think too, I'm probably coming at this bias because I love producing and I never really want to be like an artist.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Which I've talked about. Like, I have an okay voice. I have songs that have done decent.
You have a great voice. Quit discrediting
Thank you.
Yourself.
But like, I that's not what I want to do, right? Like, I don't want to tour a bunch. I don't want to be a big celebrity. Like, my goal just does not align with, I have a goal of how many people I want to hear my music. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lifestyle that comes with that I don't want.
Yeah.
And so for me, producing and songwriting and engineering and collaborating with other artists is a great way for me to still take my stories or my emotions or my feelings and have an outlet for that.
Yes.
And a lot of artists that I might give a song to about me, you know, being bipolar or having health anxiety or, you know, having a great successful relationship or having relationship issues. Those are still issues that those people might face, their audience might face. And I don't know if it's fair to the world that just because I don't want to perform it and release it, nobody ever gets to hear that.
Right. Also, half the time, your lyrics that you're writing are not even about you or relevant to your life, like whatsoever. They're just generic. I think that's what...
Damn, she just called my lyrics generic.
No, generic.
Oh, my
generic.
God.
What's the word I'm looking for? Like...
Choose your next words carefully.
Shut up. You know what I mean? It's like a... Can relate
right,
to
more
a lot
on like,
of people.
Like broad feelings.
Yes, broad,
and then I
that's
will
the word, broad.
Create stories that kind of fulfill those.
Yeah, exactly. Like half your songs are not like
super personal.
Right. But the ones that are, though, I will say are your most successful. So
no, they're not.
No, maybe not.
My most successful. Never mind. We're not going to go there on this podcast.
Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah. Well, that doesn't count. That got picked up by like a fan like page, whatever. So that doesn't really count. But anyway.
But I would be curious to see where people listening to this fall on that spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the YouTube channel and you can comment on the video version.
Or just
let
go
us,
and comment.
Yeah, or go comment on the, I don't know, any of the social posts that we'll make for this.
Yeah, I'm saying you can go to the YouTube video and just
comment
on it.
I would love to know, like, what do you feel about artists who might not be writing their own music? Like, do you respect it? Do you understand it? Is it something that you consider them to be like a performer, but not an artist? I just don't know where the boundary is, because to me, if you're doing anything artistic, whether it's writing, singing, performing, dancing, you're an artist, right? Like, I don't think that it's fair to tell somebody like, you didn't make your own paint and you didn't make your own canvas, so you're not an artist.
Yeah. I think people get upset by it too, because they feel like, oh, well, that maybe I'm just speculating here. Like, maybe they feel like, oh, I relate to this song so much, and I can relate to this artist. And then when they found out that artist didn't write that, they're like, oh, they feel like duped or something
like
that.
Like false advertising.
Yeah, but it's like not every artist is like writing lyrics that are relative to them. And honestly, it sounds exhausting to every single song you write have to be related. Like, it has to be related to your life or something that you've gone through. It's like, that just sounds kind of exhausting. I think people can write things that are not going to be like mind-boggling and record-breaking.
Well, if that's what you want, there are artists that do that.
Like, yeah, there are.
There are. You just probably don't want to go listen to like top 40 radio because that music, again, is made for general people with general emotions to generally relate to a song.
Right.
Like, if you're looking for some super specific niche storytelling recurrence of something that happened in somebody's life, like, I don't know, go listen to like track 7 on a Noah Kahan record or something, you know, mm-hmm. like you're probably not going to want to go listen to, I don't know. I'm trying to think, and even the pop artists I can think of right now are pretty good. Like, I was going to say Olivia Rodrigo, but I feel like her album was super personal and,
yeah,
and very good.
Maybe like Dua Lipa, but I think I'm pretty sure she writes a lot of her own lyrics because she shows her,
at
like,
least co-writes in the sessions.
Yeah, at least co-writes because she always shows like behind the scene, not always, a couple times seen videos of her showing behind the scenes of her writing lyrics, so.
Yeah, like I know.
But I'm sure she has help.
Yeah, like again, I know.
But that's fine.
Ian, who did the Choice of On song, has worked on a couple Dua Lipa records. He did Don't Start Now, and he did New Rules, and I think a couple others, like maybe
Those
Pretty
like
Please.
Her like new, her like old ones, I mean, her like first ones.
Don't Start Now's on her last record. It's on Future Nostalgia.
Are you sure you're not thinking of
Yeah.
It? Oh yeah, Don't Start Now, and Pretty Please, but.
Yeah, but I can't remember which song it was, but he did like a breakdown on YouTube of it, and I want to say it was written by like him and Julia Michaels and then sent to Dua.
Yeah, see?
But then Dua's probably still going to go through and like change things, mm-hmm. change words, change phrases. Like my thing is like an artist might get a demo that's production, melody, a couple lyrics here and there, or fully fleshed lyrics and be like, that's cool. I'm going to take that and put my own spin on it. That doesn't right. make it less authentic.
Right. And also Julia Michaels is an incredible songwriter, but like,
yeah, shout out Julia Michaels.
She doesn't really like release music too often. So it's like, you really think that she shouldn't be writing lyrics for people when she's as good as she is?
Yeah, she's releasing more now, but
yeah.
I mean, she writes a shit ton of music.
She writes a lot. Like,
she's
putting
out dozens of songs a year as a songwriter.
Yeah, it's crazy. And as she should, because she's a really good song. Same with like, even Ed Sheeran, like he writes for a lot of people all the time too. Because
Bruno Mars writes for a bunch of people.
Yeah, and it's like these people who are really good at their jobs. Why don't you just let them be good at their jobs? Why you
That's
gotta,
what's so funny too, is like a lot of these pop artists that people bitch about end up going and like songwriting for other people.
Yeah.
Like true, it's yeah. just like, are you, I don't know, man. Yeah. It's just one of those things. I think a lot of people probably don't understand like the dynamics of how a record comes together.
Yeah. I think it's like an old school.
Yeah.
Like look at things. Cause I think a lot of people are like, well, yeah, you just, it's just like a bunch of friends who like get together and they like find a, like play on a guitar, play on a piano and write the lyrics and like think it's all like kumbaya and cute when it's like, that's not really, I mean, sometimes that's how it works, but that's not how most of the time it works. Like, I think that's like a fantasy that people like to have in their head and thinking it's this, it's like thinking that bands are all best friends. Like everyone in the band is all best friends.
Right.
Or like
it's a business at the end of the day.
Right. Or like actors that are on TV shows are like, oh my God, they must be like besties in real life. And it's like, they're coworkers. Like they are coworkers at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun to, and I get it because I do the same thing. Like it's fun to imagine that these people are living this like little fantasy life that you've created.
Yeah, I think
head.
A lot of people probably just hold that like stereotype of an artist in their head where it's like this like really repressed, damaged person who's like bearing their soul on a rainy day outside while they're like, you know, pissed drunk at 2 p.m. It's just like, dude, not every artist writes like that. Honestly, I would argue most don't.
No. But it's so different.
I just think that got
lives.
Like really glorified because it, like obviously like you listen to a Kurt Cobain record and you're like, wow, this guy was really fucking going through it.
Well,
but like, look at how that ended.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying is like, not everything has to be such a, it doesn't have to be so dramatic all the time.
Yeah.
Like sometimes music is just music.
Yeah.
People
put a lot of like pressure and like, I don't know. People just put a lot of pressure on music sometimes.
It's like a lot of gatekeeping behind
there
like what
is
and isn't a musician, which I guess is probably honestly a pretty good segue because we've been on this topic for a minute. It's probably a good segue to talk about people always bitching about like industry plants.
Oh,
I feel
yeah.
like I see that term so much.
I feel like back in like 2016-ish era, that term was super popular. Like when Post Malone first came about.
Yeah.
Bro, people were freaking out about industry plant.
I still see it all the time.
Plant.
I think it's even worse now because like with TikTok, people will see a viral TikTok and they're like, industry
cares?
Plant.
My thing is like, do you not, first of all, what do you think a fucking A&R does? What do you think their job is? It's to find people who release music. Like, I don't think an industry plan is real. I think people just like to say that because they're butthurt. They didn't get famous and someone else did. I don't get what it even is.
Even a label can't guarantee that an artist is going to be successful.
That's what I'm saying.
So, like, I think people are confusing, like, it may seem like an overnight success, but there were probably years of demos that got shelved from that artist. There were probably sessions that will never see the light of day. And also, like, at the end of the day, a label's job is to develop artists. So, like, do you want the label to develop artists or do you not? Like, you have to pick your side. So when you call somebody an industry plant, like, yeah, like Post Malone, or even people will look at artists who like pop off on TikTok. Like, you know, people were calling, I'm trying to think. There's somebody very, very specific that people were like calling an industry plant.
Lil Nas X, I know.
Lil Nas X. That was the one that I was going to talk about. And yeah, it's just, it's one of those things of like, okay, so let's just say a label did find a random kid who had some talent and decided like, we're going to put a lot of money into this. We're going to put a lot of marketing into this and we're going to make it seem like it came out of nowhere. That's not unheard of. That was
her
whole job in the 80s and
90s. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, who cares? It's not like they're like taking somebody who was like, I don't know, some rich kid from, I don't know, random place, and they were like, oh, let's make him seem like he's this like poor kid and he was like coming up on hard times. It's not like they're like lying to you. It's more just like, hey, this person at one time, everyone started out not popular. Most people are not born into fame. So like all these people that we're talking about, at least, it's like they have to start somewhere.
And my thing is,
I just don't get it.
Now with, we talked about this in a couple episodes, but like the power is in the artist's hands more than ever with like social media.
Right.
And like just basically like guerrilla marketing for yourself. It's like, we'll never know like how early on a label gets involved in this artist's career. Because like, here's a perfect example. There's a band from the UK right now called Daydreamers, and they just released their first song ever called Call Me Up. They've been teasing it now for like a month and a half, maybe even 2 months on Instagram. They had one post go like mega viral, like 3 million hits. They put up a secret link to a SoundCloud and it got like hundreds of thousands of streams just from a secret link on SoundCloud. And now they have like 40,000 followers. They literally went from like 3,000 followers to 40 in like 8 weeks because of one video popping off for a song that they haven't even released for a band that did not even exist yet.
Yeah.
The song came out last week, I think. And I went and looked because I was curious, was there a label behind this? And there is. It is like a division of UMG or Sony or something. It's like one of the smaller
subsidiaries.
Yeah, you
don't think someone heard that fucking SoundCloud link and then immediately went and signed them?
So here's the thing.
That's what I would do.
We will never, ever, ever know if they planned on independently releasing that record and they got hit up by a label or even by a distribution company. It might not even be like a label deal. It might just be distro for that one song because it went viral. We'll never know if that was the case or if it was the case of they got signed to a really early deal. And with a lot of labels, what they'll do is they'll sign you for a year because that doesn't cost them much money when you don't have a lot of leverage and leeway.
Right.
And then they'll let you kind of put out feelers. And if something pops, they'll green light it. And if something flops, then they shelve that artist. So we'll never know if whatever label ended up releasing that or distributing that or whatever. Did they sign Daydreamers as a development deal? And then Daydreamers got lucky with a song that went viral on TikTok and Instagram? Or did Daydreamers release a song that accidentally went viral and then a label stepped in and was like, hey, we'll give you some cash to distribute this and do a one-for-one deal? Are they on that label? Like, we don't know.
Who cares?
We'll never, ever know, but it doesn't make the song less enjoyable
to me.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, who cares? Like, how is that any different than in the 90s, them going around and finding each individual person for NSYNC? They weren't all fucking, oh, you were an NSYNC shirt.
I'm literally wearing an NSYNC shirt. But this band started from a fucking talent scouting
competition. That's what I'm saying. They weren't all besties and that were like, guys, let's create a little group. Like, no, that's not even how, One Direction, same thing. They were all on X Factor, I'm pretty sure it was, or one of those TV shows.
Literally the definition of an industry plant.
That's what I'm saying. How is that any different than if they were to find this band or if they found these individual people and then put them, who cares? What is the difference? No one calls NSYNC or One Direction industry plant. It's the same thing. I don't get it.
I think people want to discredit artists, and which this goes back to like the general topic is like, is artistry dead? I think people want to discredit modern artists however they can. You didn't actually come from the mud. You got a label deal. You're from the suburbs. You never grew up poor. Or you don't write your own lyrics. Or, you know, you have your vocals tuned in your production. Or she can't dance good on stage. Or whatever it is.
Right.
Specifically with women and minorities. People will try to discount women artists and black artists at a much higher rate than a white artist. I love Ed Sheeran, right? You want to talk industry plant? Let's talk about a guy who...
His busking story
is him willfully leaving his house. He went and slept on Jamie Foxx's couch for like a month. Apparently, he already had industry contacts and like now is one of the biggest pop artists and songwriters in the world. And I love that. I'm glad his music got out there. But you look at his story and if you were to listen to it, it's like, oh, this is such an inspiring story about this English guy from a small town who just like wound up in the big city playing music for really important people.
And struggled on his way to get there.
Not the case.
No.
We'll talk about her one more time. Taylor Swift. Family owned a massive farm. We just looked up her parents' bio the other day. Her father was like a broker at Merrill Lynch, like one of the most famous brokerage companies in the country.
Yeah.
Her mom
was in marketing.
Was in like a marketing
exec
for like another brokerage or something like that.
Not a brokerage. I don't remember what it said though.
Loaded.
Yeah.
Like definitely if at the very, very least the high echelon of upper middle class.
I mean, her family was able to move to Nashville for her career when she was like 14 years old. Like you're not like broke doing that kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And I understand people want to discredit it because honestly, it's easy to do. Like you could sit there and just be a little bit jealous and discredit it and be like, well, of course she got famous. She came from a wealthy background or of course, you know, Lil Nas X got his song out there because a label found him and developed him because he had a Nicki Minaj stan account. Like the thing is, you'll never know how those stories actually unfold because what you're hearing is what the artist and whoever they're currently signed to has put together in terms to market their music for you. Taylor Swift wants to market to suburban white girls. That is how her story relates. Lil Nas X wants to relate to people who are putting their songs on SoundCloud and just blow up overnight. Same with Post Malone.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he relates. It's one of those things of like, whatever you're hearing was written by a copywriter for them. Like, specifically to appeal to people.
Yeah.
And you'll never know. You'll never know how much money a label gave them. You'll never know how early a label was interested in them. You'll never know what the back end of their actual deal looks like. So you don't know if they're a label plant or if they're a developed artist or if they're an artist who honestly had a shit ton of leverage and now the label is trying to capitalize off that. You probably will never, ever know.
And who cares? What I don't understand is what is the difference in people's mind between someone developing an artist and an industry plant? Like, what's the difference? Because to me, the picture's exactly the same. And like, I'm not really understanding the difference and why people get so mad about it. And they're like, oh, they blew up overnight. Some people seem like they blow up overnight, but they actually don't. People think that about Billie Eilish. Oh, she just blew up overnight. No, she didn't. Austin found Billie Eilish before she had...
like SoundCloud demos.
I think she had like less than 200,000 followers on Instagram when we both started following her. Now she has, I don't know how many she has, but millions.
Tens of millions?
Yeah, like, she's huge. She just won like her second Grammy or Oscar or whatever the heck. And she's only like 22 years old. Like, absolutely incredible. But like...
even look at these artists who do pop off on TikTok.
They blow up out of nowhere, but they kind of don't really.
Like, look at somebody like Trevor Daniel, right? At the start of TikTok, making songs go mega viral. His song Fallen went super, super viral.
Mm-hmm.
It went from a couple hundred thousand streams, maybe like a million streams to like, it's got over, like well over a billion now. People thought he just came out of nowhere. Trevor had been releasing music for years. He was in a band before he was releasing music as Trevor Daniel. Black Bear had done a remix of Falling before his version even went viral. So the timeline was Trevor released a bunch of music. Trevor released Falling. Falling did moderately well. Black Bear featured on Falling. That version didn't go viral. The original version without Bear went viral.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think he was signed to a label. I think after he signed to Artista, and then they kind of shoved him because he couldn't have another song go number one like that.
Right.
Like, it's one of those things of, it might look to somebody like, oh, how did Glass Animals just have a song get to 100 million streams out of nowhere? I've never heard that band. They were up for Best New Band in like 2021.
That was
or
crazy
something like
though.
That.
They've been
an artist for 6 years.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
Like,
well, and like in the case of like Post Malone, I think he was releasing music before that one song, whatever song it was, went viral on SoundCloud. SoundCloud, I think it was. And then Lil Nas X, I don't think he had been releasing music before Old Town Road, but I could be wrong. That one was like, oh, that he like woke, like a few days had passed and it had really started growing and growing and growing. So, you know, some of it does obviously happen, quote unquote, overnight, but it's still not how I just don't. I just don't think an energy plant's a real thing. I think people just like to be weird about it. Like, I don't understand.
I could take $2 million and say Joan should be the biggest band in the world. I can't believe that they're not.
$2 million. I can't believe they're not. That's ridiculous.
To invest in them and promote them and make them the biggest pop band in the world right now. It's not guaranteed if that $2 million has any payoff whatsoever. Like, right. Just because I spend a ton of money, run a bunch of ad campaigns, put them on a national tour, you know, get them a big feature from somebody like, I don't know, whoever, like Post Malone or Noah Kahan or whatever. Like, that doesn't guarantee that they're going to blow up. And then even if they do, that doesn't guarantee that they're going to then stay at that prestige, right? Like Lil Nas X, Old Town Road's 5 years old, 6 years old now.
Yeah. If not,
he's
older.
Still popular. Post Malone. Maybe more popular than ever.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, just because you have a big moment, that does not mean that you're going to have a career. Like,
look,
we've
at
seen
one hit wonders. That's literally why they're called one hit wonders. Yeah. They have one song that blows up and then you never hear from them again.
Like, I don't know. I don't know why people care. And like, I do find myself investigating sometimes when I see an artist suddenly start popping up everywhere. I'm like,
yeah, it's just like curious.
They get signed to somebody, like, because right. To be honest, to start making waves like that, it takes connections, it takes money, it takes the ability to spend a shit ton of time marketing your music. And
yeah,
like,
it's hard.
There's a female artist. I'm blanking on her name and I cannot remember. She's incredible. She's like an R&B artist who I've been seeing all over Instagram.
Kyla? No.
No, okay. She got a co-sign from like SZA. Like, SZA followed her and like posted her stuff. And you know how Timbaland does those like beat streams where he'll like listen to music? It was a couple weeks ago. She like submitted her music to Timbaland's beat stream. He listened to it, was blown away by it. And now she's like signed to Timbaland's record and he's like developing her.
Yeah.
We'll never know if Timbaland had already found her and wanted to develop her and was like, hey, let's do a thing where it's like, kind of act like I found your music on this stream and we blow it up and people think that that's how this started. Like, you're never going to know.
Right.
That could have been the case.
Yeah.
He also could have just been like, fuck, she's good and I want to give her a couple $100,000 and see how she can run with it.
Right.
You'll never, ever know. But at the end of the day, I don't think it really fucking matters.
No.
Like, do you like their music? Are you happy that you got to hurt it? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It's just an interesting thing to me. People get really upset by it and I don't really know why.
Yeah. I guess all of that is just to say, like, I do think there is this weird pivot of like what it means to be a modern artist. Like, we've talked about the content, we've talked about just like the saturation of a market. Like, there is so much music on Spotify, and it is so easy for me to pay $10 a month and have unlimited access to any music ever released, and that's like a ton of competition, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I think people are not giving modern artists enough credit for how hard it is to break through, how hard it is to make a living releasing music when you make a third of a penny per stream and there's hundreds of thousands of songs uploaded every day and hundreds of thousands of TikToks made every day and, you know, hundreds of label artists that get signed to, you know, 2-year deals that will never see the light of day because they get shelved. Like, there's just so much that happens in the music industry that people do not see and will never see because there's not like a union for songwriters. Like, we don't have it like the actors have the SAG or anything.
That's
like,
really crazy.
Yeah, like, you're never going to know. Dude, the music industry is like a fucking wild, wild west right now. Like, distro can pay out whatever it wants. Labels can kind of do whatever they want. Like, you don't even have to give them permission to sell your masters when your contract is done. They might not even offer for you to buy them.
Yeah, well.
And, like, say, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
But, like, yeah, the music industry, I think from a lot of people outside looking in, they have that kind of image of, like, 80s and 90s where, you know, like Geffen and RCA and some of those other bands find these artists and they do a battle of the bands and then they sign them and put them on a tour where they open for a national act and then they get them in the studio for 2 months with a big record producer and they make their debut album and they go to Tower Records and they sign physical copy. Like, that's not how shit works right now.
I don't know even what the fuck you're talking about.
That's like,
who?
That was like the traditional route of like 80s artists. Like, if you were hearing a song on the radio, they got found locally. They
did
some opening.
You don't fucking know. They could have been all found individually and put together.
That's fair.
That's what I'm saying. You literally don't know. I think people like to think it's like, a band was playing in a little shithole bar, and that's a big guy from Hollywood came in and watched them, and now they're famous.
Yeah, I'm saying like that's like the idealized version of like how you find an artist.
Like dream. But
you walk into a dive bar, some record executive sitting in the back seat smoking a cigar, and he's like, "Wow, they're good.
Right?
I'm gonna give them a shot." And then like, dude.
Those guys don't have time for that.
Also, even if that ever was the case, there's too much shit happening now. People's attention spans are too short for that.
Well, now you can do all that on your phone. You don't have to go to a bar. So.
Yeah. If I saw an A&R at a show in Orlando, Florida, I'd be like, what are you doing here? Just go on TikTok. There's so many people out there that deserve a shot right now. There's too many people that deserve a shot that will never get it because there's just not that many resources to go around.
Right.
That, like, you'll never know. Like, so when you find yourself sitting there and being like, oh, well, why is Flyanna Boss having this, you know, series of TikToks go viral for the, you know, the two women who were like running through Disney singing.
Oh, yeah, that was so cute.
What's the song called? You know, Hello Christ.
Yeah.
I'm about to sin again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Are they an industry plant? I don't know.
But
like,
how? I just don't know what that, I don't know.
What is the parameters?
That's what I'm saying. What does it even mean? Because to me, in my head, if an industry plant would be somebody that they tried to make seem like this relate. Okay, this is a perfect example. Fucking Kid Rock acts like, oh, I'm this country boy who grew up in a trailer park. Poor me. I was so poor. This fucker was rich as fuck from Detroit. Like, never
like
was
8,000 square foot mansion.
It never was poor. And he tried to act like he was this poor, relatable guy. And like
pander to an audience that he had nothing in common with.
Exactly. But like that really worked for him clearly because he became super successful. To me, that is more of an industry plant where it's someone that you're selling this fake background, this idealized version of them. That's
you create
not
a caricature
real. Yeah,
of
you
a
try
person.
To yeah, you try to create like a fake person who's relatable and to make the artist more appealing. That to me is what an industry plant would be. Is someone that has this fake background. And then now that we have the internet, we can realize, oh, wait, they actually were lying the entire time. None of that's true.
Like Bo Burnham's character in Parks and Rec.
Bo Burnham's in Parks and Rec.
Yeah, you don't remember that? He like plays a country artist.
Yes.
He's like a millionaire country guy that's wearing like $2,000
yes,
boots.
I forgot he's in that. Exactly like that.
And he's like scared to get them dirty, but
I mean,
he's like performing country music.
No offense, but that is a lot of country artists acting like they're poor. They grew up or they came from the sticks when they all grew up rich. Like they all, or they not even from the country. Like a lot of people act like that. But that to me is more of an industry plant where that's what I would think in my head of like the definition of industry plant would be someone who has this fake, they created a fake background for this person to seem relatable. And then they were like, okay, here's what you're going to sing about. Here's what your lyrics are going to be about. Here's the music you're going to do. Here's your look. Here's your outfit. Now go.
Like a Milli Vanilli thing. Do you know that band? As a group from the 90s.
That's a band?
So if anybody's listening that doesn't know, Milli Vanilli was a duo that was founded, that was like founded by a label. A duo, fully had an image, had songs, had everything. Like, had a full, they were, like, given a Bible of who Milli Vanilli was. People come to find out that, like, they weren't singing on their songs at all. They weren't performing at their shows. Like, there was two other women backstage who were singing into a mic.
Damn, that's shit. And that, like, oh, my God, like in Lizzie McGuire movie.
Yeah, literally exactly that.
Sing
and, like,
Paolo.
I think that that's what people think that a lot of this is like, when I think of an industry plant, that's what I think
that's
of.
What
it's
I'm
like,
saying.
You literally create a character who doesn't do any of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but with, like, internet sleuths nowadays, I think that would be really a hella hard to pull
right.
off. Like, everyone that we're talking about is from, like, early 2000s or the 90s. It's like,
sure.
Back in the day, they could do something like that because it was easy.
Who knows?
It's even, like, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, TLC, Boys to Men, like all these groups where it looks like they're like besties and they all love each other so much. You don't know that they were probably all strangers and you don't even know that they were best friends or that they even liked each other that much at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But it's a really, you know, that's a nice image to sell.
Yeah, but, I think.
But that's different than what I'm talking about with freaking Kid Rock.
I think, yeah.
That
I don't
is
know.
To me, that is what I would think an industry plant would be, but I don't think they can pull something like that off now.
Where you
not
like literally take a random person, give them a dossier, and you're like, this is your life
yes.
now.
Yes. Like, if when you're looking at, like, the fact that we can find all this stuff out about people who were famous 20 something years ago, how the hell is someone going to pull something like that off right now?
Right. Like, I was talking about that R&B artist that Timbaland signing and developing right now. And I was like, I don't know. It took me 5 minutes to see, like, oh, he looked at her stuff on like a live beat stream. Like 1 week after SZA tweeted her and now she's like signed to him. I was like, this could have easily been in the works for months before that. I mean, and then this maybe. Is like her rollout. But honestly,
SZA's really online a lot, though.
She is, dude. So, every time I see a viral video, SZA likes
it. That's what I'm saying. Or comments on it. So yeah. I'm like, and
shout out SZA.
Yeah. Sometimes they're not even like super viral, the videos that I see. I'm like, dang, she just really be.
But my point is like, it took me not even 3 minutes to come to that like possible assumption. Yeah, like,
exactly.
Like, it would be so, so hard for a label to act like they had nothing to do with it. Like, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, a label is also a brand. They are going to put their name on whatever they can. So if a label was behind...
They see dollar signs, girl. Yeah. That's all they see with like, these artists.
I think people also forget, too, that, like, especially big artists, they are a business. Like, mm-hmm. they are there to make that label as much money as possible. Yeah. Like,
labels aren't ethical. I don't know if you guys have
they're businesses.
Yeah, well, they're just trying to make a buck at the end of the day.
I do think that they, you know, labels have given a lot of artists like a great platform and like the resources to put their music in front of more people.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
It's also like the roles are shifting. Like now that more people have access to like basically infinite audiences by themselves, is like, I don't know, what is a label doing right now? Like,
really?
You better be giving me a shit ton of money to go on a tour and, you know, hire the best producers and songwriters in the business. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm gonna keep making shit in a bedroom and putting it on TikTok. And
right.
like, I don't know. I'd rather keep all the money from 3 million streams than keep, you know, 15% of the money from 40 million streams. Like, right. it's just, at the end of the day, I don't know.
40 million streams might get you more opportunities, you could argue.
For how long, though? Like, that's the thing. You never know. Like,
no, you don't. But, you know, if you blow up and then you save your money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But all that to be said of like, yeah, I don't really know if there is like a definition for like what a genuine like artist now is. Like, I think anybody who does anything artistic can like claim that. I don't think that we need to gatekeep.
No, stop, you know, gatekeeping. Artistry is not dead. And,
yeah.
Like, just quit. Quit. People just look at the past with rose-colored lenses, I think. And I think it's so easy to be like, oh, it was a simpler time. Oh, it was so much more genuine back then. Oh, people back then. And it's like people thinking, oh, there's so many dangerous people nowadays. People are so bad. It's like people are so evil. Have you seen the serial killers in the 70s? Like, people have been fucked up for a long time. We just now have the internet and, you know, news to see that people are bad. It's not that they're there's worse people now. No, we all just know about the worst people now because it's not happening. It's happening in a small town in the middle of nowhere. Everyone on the internet can know about it. It's not just those people in that one town.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing.
Here's like one last example that I think I can give to like really paint the picture of like people saying everybody's an industry plan is just fucking annoying. Is like, who is pretty much the undisputed king of pop music?
King of pop music? Oh, it feels like a quiz. Well, I guess people would say Michael Jackson. I would say Prince, but.
I would too. Specifically because of what I'm about to say. We look at Michael Jackson's career. I would say like, 9 out of 10 people, if you were to say, like, who is the biggest pop artist of all time? People are going to say Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was a child who was formed into a band with his siblings.
Right.
Who was immediately signed to a massive record Motown deal.
Like, literally, like, 5. I want to say, like, he was literally, so young. Like, literally a baby.
Made music all through the Jackson 5. Jackson 5 broke up. Started releasing music as a teenager as Michael Jackson. And then transformed into the Michael Jackson that you all know in the 80s with, you know, like Thriller and Beat It and Dirty Diana and like all of the hits all the way through the 90s to the early 2000s. Is that not the definition of a label plant? A label got involved in that kid's life at 5 years old and basically dictated every move he ever made. Put him in the room with the biggest producers on earth.
Yeah.
Put him in the room with the greatest songwriters on earth. Put him in the room with the greatest choreographers on earth. Like, I wouldn't say that that's an industry plant because I have a brain and I'm just like, that's label's job. It's like, find somebody with potential, invest in them.
That's like what they do in Korea with K-pop groups. They find them when they're like teenagers.
They scout them.
And they scout them and then they put them through these crazy training camps.
Because that's what a label's job is. A label is essentially...
Those are a little maybe unethical. I just want to say though. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if that's what
their
job.
A label is essentially a bank. And the collateral for their investment is that they get to like control your every move until you make that money back for them.
Like, I mean, they're just like a business and then they're their employees. And like whichever employee is going to make them the most money, they're obviously going to hire.
Right. So
really
before
that.
You go and you start freaking out that there's a new artist that's popping up all over TikTok and, you know, got a feature from XYZ top 10 artist and is now, you know, going viral everywhere. Like, just think, who cares? It could have been organic. It could have been planned. It could have been promotional. Like, nobody ever knows.
And have we seen the things that go really viral? Cares. Like, remember when that guy that was literally just like singing the Fleetwood Mac song and drinking cranberry
Dog
juice
face?
On a skateboard? That went so viral. That man was just like living his little life. And it's like...
industry plant for cranberry
that's,
juice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, people probably did think that.
Ocean spray industry plant.
It's like anything can go viral. So like the fact that like talented artists or like good lyrics or like good videos would go viral, it's not that surprising. Like, I don't know. I think people love a conspiracy theory is really what it is. So people just want to...
I am more surprised when I see an artist go mega viral and a label does not immediately poach them.
Oh,
like that
yeah.
to me is the weird thing. It's like, I'm like, dude, they have like millions of streams on TikTok and like they've released songs that are getting on every playlist and they're still not signed to a label. I was like, they're actively turning down every deal for anything.
I don't think
people see like how easily labels offer out deals too. Is like, dude, 90% of the deals are dog shit. And that's why a lot of people get shelved. That's why a lot of people are, you know, artists for a few years and then they end up literally having to go like Uber after that is because
or they
like,
can't release music because of the label deal that they're in is shitty. Yeah,
like we've all glorified music labels to be this like big like I'm gonna get signed to a record label, I'm gonna be a massive artist, like dude, that's gone. Like you might get the big fat deal from Atlantic, you might also get a small deal from one of their subsidiaries and get shelved in a year. Like you don't know.
Yeah, I think the like days of the end goal being to get signed to a label have been over for a while. But I would be curious to hear your guys' opinion on industry plants, if they're real. If
who you think might be one.
What you think of our opinions on industry plants, if you think that they're not real like I do.
If like, they're like aliens, if they're real, but they're not in this universe yet. I don't know. Yeah I mean, I would be keen to hear opinions because I feel like this is going to be one that some people might not agree with. Some people might be like, no, you're definitely not an artist if you don't write your own lyrics and a label gives you millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we all have opinions. I would love to hear yours. I'd love to, more importantly, if you have an opinion, justify it. Like, I don't mind reading a few sentences behind a comment. Like, take a little bit of time. Explain yourself. I would love to see where people are coming
from. You're
really
going to have to explain yourself because I don't understand it at all.
Fucking cite your sources. And MLA style.
I feel like we had some pretty... good examples of why industry plans don't seem to be real. So,
right.
I'm just curious.
Well, that's all I have for the topic of is artistry dead in the modern age? Too long didn't
answer,
read version?
No.
It's just different. It's just different. Like everything. Movies are different now.
And
shows
again,
are different now.
Just don't look at things with rose-colored lenses. It's what everyone does. We all do it with everything in our lives. And I think it's really easy to do that. But I think it's bad too, because then you're looking at, instead of enjoying the life in the present moment that you're in now, you're just reminiscing about, oh, well, it was good back then. And then in 20 years from now, you're going to do the same thing for this time. So I just think.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Be present. Savor the moment.
Yeah. Just stop. Just be stressing yourself out with shit that doesn't matter. Like industry plants and artists who don't write their own lyrics. Who cares?
For sure.
At the end of the day, just simply don't listen to them if that's what you don't like.
Before
that's
we
fine
go.
Too.
You got recommendations? It's your week.
First of all, last time you said that, so.
I did it last time.
No, but you made me do it. And then I said, I thought we were switching. And then you're like, no, we are both doing it. And I was like, okay.
We might just need to make it where we both come with a rec.
Well, we are going to do that because I'm doing my rec now, but then you're going to do it after me because I'm scared you're going to steal it. Okay, my rec is kind of music related. Not really. But it's a new show we just started watching called Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It's on Amazon Prime. Video, which, okay, I'm gonna be real. I didn't think Amazon would make such good shows, but they actually do. It's with Mr. Childish Gambino himself, Donald Glover. It's really good. I'm pretty sure he wrote it and produced it, and he stars in it.
Wow, a real artist.
Yeah, there you go. He's a real artist. But the writing is just really good. The two actors that are in, he's obviously in it, and then her first name is Maya, I think, but I forgot her last name.
I'll find it.
But, baby, if you don't throw your phone, but it's really, really good. They're both incredible in it. There's some crazy cameos, like Sarah Paulson is in it. Paul Dano is in it. The guy who plays Hellboy, I forgot his name. He's also in it.
Oh, Ron Perlman.
Yeah. It's like bunch of big celebrities.
It's Maya Erskine plays Jane.
That's
and she does a fantastic job as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, they're both so good. Their dynamic is really good. The writing is really good. It seems very it's the most like natural writing I feel like I've seen in a TV show in a really long time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, at some points it feels like they just like captured a conversation.
Yeah, it really does. I'm like, oh dang, did they just like improv this? Cause it just seems like they're literally just having a conversation. It seems so realistic. So really fantastic show. 10 out of 10 would recommend. I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know how it's going to end. We're still like 2 episodes away, but we did binge it yesterday and it was really good. You guys should go on, watch it on Amazon Prime.
You should. I will say Donald Glover is as good of an actor as he is an artist.
That's literally like, what I so said good. Yesterday. He said, I literally was like, you know what? I can't even be mad that he's not making music anymore because he is such a good actor. Yeah. I already knew. I saw him in Community, but I haven't seen him in Atlanta, but, you know, that was such a long time ago. So seeing him in this role is like, it's such a different role too, I feel like, yeah, for him to be in. It's really good. But anyway, what's your rec?
My rec is actually going to be a plugin company that I've been using a lot lately.
Ooh.
It's a company called Make Believe Studios. They partner with another company called Metric Halo for a lot of their stuff. It's a really cool company. They sent me some of their stuff to try out a few weeks ago, and I've just like really become obsessed with it. So they have a few things that I'll recommend. Basically everything from their website is crazy, so go check it all out. But really specific things, they have something called Good Math, which is like basically like a clipper slash limiter slash like oversampler, where you can essentially just get like tons of extra free gain without like clipping your mix or making things go haywire. The algorithm that they've used to like basically oversample everything and clip everything is just so good. And they have a Sontek style like mastering EQ that it's been on all of my masters now for like the past 3 weeks. And then the last one that I want to specifically recommend is Kevin's limiter. There's legitimately no controls on the plugin. You just drop it on and it sounds insane. There's literally not a single knob or button or anything. But yeah, that company is just like doing it different. Like I all three plugins that I just mentioned, I don't have any other versions of a plugin like that. And, you know, they're just like a really cool independent plugin company who's like kind of getting their start. I'm seeing them pop up more and more. They have a bunch of really cool products and they're working on something that's insane that I can't talk about right now.
Ooh.
But yeah, go check out Make Believe Studios. They have some absolutely incredible plugins. If you check them out, let them know that I sent you. I actually know one of the founders. His name's Ryan Harvey. I met him years and years ago on like the Chango forum when we were all doing rock and metal. So it's cool to see everything come full circle. Shout out to those guys. They're incredible. But that's going to be my recommendation. Other than that, I think that does it for this week of the podcast. I guess we'll see you guys in a couple weeks with another episode.
See you guys.
Much love. Peace.